Geek.
Late Night Gamers Podcast, where we make all of your gaming habits seem acceptable.
Late Night Gamers.
Steve, this game sucks so bad, it's so unbalanced, blah, I just quit, never play it ever again.
Carlson.
What do you do in your free time? Sit around knitting?
Screw that shit, I'm gonna cut up a dragon's head.
It's okay if your guts spill out and you explode into a bloody mess, as long as you don't take your clothes off.
Late Night Gamers. What is up, everybody? Welcome to episode 17 of Late Night Gamers Podcast, where we make all of your gaming habits seem acceptable. I'm Nick Persnowski, and with me this week and every week is Tim Madden.
Good tidings, fellow peoples!
Steve Morgan.
N64!
And Charles Caldwell.
Late Night Gamer Podcast, Merry Christmas, motherfucker.
So if you can't tell, this is a Christmas/holiday podcast that we're going to be recording. So we're going to be talking about some topics related to the holiday season. I apologize if you don't celebrate Christmas.
It's a holiday season.
It's a holiday episode. So if we say Christmas, it's just what we
celebrate.
We're
not trying to rub it in your face. Is what we're trying to say.
Insert Christmas with random holiday.
Yeah, exactly. I love random holiday.
We're just gonna
I love
dub
getting
it over.
My presents on random holiday.
Or non-holiday. It's just a special occasion if you just want to pop some bubbly.
Yeah, you don't need an occasion to drink.
If you're a Jehovah's Witness, we're just saying have a good day.
just laugh at our podcast, that's all. It's no special occasion.
It's like a weird it's like a handshake, only a little bit weirder.
Exactly.
Let's start off a couple topics with the best gaming-related Christmas present I think that probably we've ever received, right?
Sure.
Yeah, that works. I'll start, and I'll just say the thing that started my gaming addiction and habit is the NES that my mother got me for my fourth Christmas, I think. And it was like 1989 or 1990. I don't know. I don't remember what age I was. It was around there, but yeah, holy crap, that was like the biggest thing ever, best thing. Fucking love that thing.
So did I, until it was taken away inevitably.
Wait, can you please explain?
Well, whenever we would get punished, the first thing that they would take away was the NES, because Nick lived with me for a while.
Yeah,
lived with us
when we first moved to New Hampshire. Yeah. We moved in with them before we found a place, and Charles and I would get in trouble frequently, and things would get taken away.
Frequently?
Well, we would, like, call your sister names or something stupid, or...
We would
like
smash her dolls.
I feel like you guys are a dangerous duo.
I shot her in the eye with a Batman toy, but that wasn't even the stuff that we did together. One of the things that we did together was we used to throw sticks at the trees in the backyard. And one of the times that we were throwing sticks at the tree, I don't know why we were doing this, but one of the times we were throwing sticks at the tree fell. And instead of running out to the side where we'd be clear, we ran like in the path of the tree up the hill. Thankfully, my parents had dogs at the time, outdoor dogs. I think the wolf dogs were gone by that point, but in the backyard, and there was a dog line across, and that tree just went kaboosh, and
both of us were on the ground.
Yeah, we like dove as if an explosion behind us.
I think the real question is, why were you throwing sticks at a tree? Like,
they were old trees.
What else was there to do?
We were throwing sticks at the dead branches and watching them just like. We were breaking them all off and watching them explode.
Because our Nintendo was taken away, obviously.
Yeah. And then And then we moved on from that, after that happened, to throwing sticks in the road, yeah. Watching cars run them over.
Until awesome. One guy stopped and said, "You goddamn son of a bitch, kids."
Yeah, we got in trouble for that one.
I used to
we hid in like a wooden like doghouse.
Yeah. One of the things that I also used to do is chew up big gigantic wads of gum and throw it at cars. Off that same cliff. They were like the size of my fist, and I would just throw it down on the ground.
How did you get that in your mouth?
I wouldn't actually put the whole thing in my mouth. I would just kind of gnaw on the outside.
How did you get this much gum is probably the more important question.
Long time collections, you know.
Did it like stick to the car when you threw it?
It would stick to some of the tires, and I was always very happy. I was very happy when it was gone.
Oh my god.
Diabolical children mischief is always the best.
So Charles, what's your best gaming related Christmas present?
Well, all of my games were really gotten during Christmas because that was the one time when I could like ask for gifts when really it was the only time when you could really get a gift. I mean, birthday presents were always something more related to the summer since I'm born in June, but so Christmas was the time when I got my first N64, where I got GoldenEye and I got Mario, and I instantly became like completely hopelessly addicted to GoldenEye. I unlocked everything about it. Same thing with Mario. I got all 120 stars, unlocked everything, every little component, got up on the roof, spoke to Yoshi, "In your face, Steve."
Yeah, that's still bitter.
And then, but I mean, that's where I got all of the new Zelda games. That's where I got Majora's Mask with the friggin' little expansion pack thing that I wasn't gonna get otherwise. That's when I got the PlayStation 1. Though I gotta say, even some of my extended family, they knew that like I liked video games, but they would always get me like really random games. Like I didn't get Mario Kart Racing. I got Diddy Kong Racing, and. For the PlayStation 1, I was like, oh, what was the game? It was like Dark something. It was like a Diablo clone for PlayStation 1. I mean, it was fun, but it was like, where did I get this game? And then I realized it was one of the random Christmas games that I got, so.
Nice.
Yeah, I think looking back, it's like what you said, Charles. Like, I can't remember what I got for Christmas because, like, every Christmas was, like, every gaming system I ever got was, like, was acquired, or, like, even games for the most part were acquired then. Because I have nothing else I would ever want. Like, there's no alternative. Like, I can guarantee every single Christmas I'm just like, I want, what, like, X system or X game yeah. for a system. Yeah.
You never want socks. You never want clothes. Those are just things that you. Those are just things that kind of come out of Christmas. But what you want is that console. What you want is that game.
I can remember that like Christmas one year. It was me and my brother, and like we opened all our presents, and you know we did everything. We knew something was coming, and then there's like the one present labeled for both of us, and we're like, this is it. You know, it's the perfect Genesis size. It's got to be it. And then we open it and like, you know, freak out. But and that I like
Sega Genesis.
Besides that, I think one of the best ones that I can remember was getting, I think it was Game Boy Pocket, the second Game Boy, because that getting that was like yeah. Now I can bring my gaming addiction everywhere. You know, I can just mm-hmm. live and play games all the time.
I know I spent at least. 400 hours sitting at my dad's paper in Franklin with my my Game Boy. I would just sit on the floor like I didn't care. I was just like just sitting there with the Game Boy playing Link's Awakening endlessly.
Remember when we went to your dad's computer that one time and I forget who he was working with, but the guy he was working with let us play this game that he had downloaded and it was like this like really bloody gory like you
probably
can punch
Patrick.
Like celebrities.
Oh yeah, this. Yeah. It was a boxing game, and you could just punch them until they were, like, bloody goop. That was Patrick.
That's awesome.
Patrick is a
weird
guy.
We were in, like, I think we were in, like, second and third grade or something. Or third and fourth grade.
He obviously
so it was
wanted
definitely
to corrupt,
inappropriate, but...
He wanted to corrupt children. He didn't care. That guy was no. weird.
Let's, why don't we go on to... What do you guys... hoping to get, or what are you getting for this Christmas?
It's different now, like,
yeah,
they were older. It's not
we just buy what we want.
Yeah,
yeah, right.
Yeah, me now, it's like the opposite. It's like, I'm going to get all the games that I want, but I want those things that I normally want to go out to the store to get. Like, I don't want to go buy socks. I mean, come on. I don't want to go shopping. Somebody else buy me that stuff. Thank you. Goodness, that was so
nice. I need khakis and dress shirts and ties.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but as a kid, you're like, really? This is what you got me? Really?
Yeah. it's funny. Like, my parents have old home videos, and it's funny to, like, watch it and see the utter disappointment in my face as I open clothes. Like, you know, they're just filler presents.
It's true. A few Twitter listeners wrote in and said, I asked what they're getting or what they're asking for the holidays, and Fiction315 says definitely going to pick up Assassin's Creed 4 and Need for Speed Rivals, which I haven't played either of those, but I've heard really good things on both of them. Need for Speed Rivals was amazing, like, graphically.
And there's a Need for Speed movie coming out. That'll be weird.
That will be weird. Yeah. I don't know about that one. Choffy says, now that I have a PS4, I need Knack and Killzone. And I have both of those games. And Knack's a lot... It gets, I think, more fun as you play it. And then Killzone is... It's great. Multiplayer's great. It's a good all-around game. yeah. Apart from that... Mr. Ham 111 says... Metal Gear Solid Legacy and Lego Marvel Super Heroes. Is it Marvel Super Heroes or Lego Marvel? Yeah, Marvel Super Heroes. The Lego game looks actually pretty sweet.
Yeah. It's crazy, like, how many things that Lego has, like, grouped up with now.
Yeah.
Like, it's cool, though.
All kinds of cross-themed stuff.
Yeah.
Lord of the Rings and...
Metal Gear Solid Legacy, is that just, like, all the old games?
I have no idea. Sorry, Mr. Ham. I'm not sure what that one is.
I know the new one's coming out. Actually, it seems pretty cool, but...
Is that Metal Gear Solid... Revengeance or something? Or was that the last one?
I have no idea. I didn't play any of them.
We got one more question, which isn't even on our list. It's on my phone still. Mike Fowler 93, who's written into the podcast before, he says, are any of you guys picking up Nintendo products? I got a Wii U and Mario 3D World. # Nintendo love. no. No, I'm not picking up anything from Nintendo. I don't really buy... I kind of stick to one console. I don't know. I feel like so many games are cross-platform at this point that... Except for Nintendo. Nintendo has its own thing, but I'm just... I don't know.
That was the only thing that I actually put on my Christmas list that was game-related, because I know I'm never going to buy it for myself, because...
The Wii U?
Yeah, because, I mean, the games that I play every day are on PC, but if I'm... I actually didn't ask for Wii U. I asked for, like, the Nintendo cash, because I really don't want the Wii U until the next Zelda game comes out. But once that does, I'm going to want it. It's inevitable. It's not going to be something that I'm going to be like, oh, no, I don't want to buy that. I'm going to want that game and that console because of the Zelda game. Which is weird, because I don't feel that way about Mario, but I feel that way about Zelda.
Yeah. I've felt that way about getting, like, a Wii U, but I also kind of, like, I really want to play the new Pokemon game, but I don't want to, like, get a 3DS and, I don't know.
I mean, I have heard there's a lot of good games on the 3DS, but...
Yeah, plus I don't want to be that, like, 35 million-year-old dude walking around with a 3DS, like, who...
Hey kids, what do you want to do with my 3D? You want to play with my 3DS? That's the worst.
is.
It was even bad when you were in high school and people came in with a 3DS and prying it around. It's one thing if you're playing with it at home, but if you're playing with it in school, something wrong with you. Not really.
Why don't we break a little bit away from holiday stuff, and we have that Chaffee did write in a question to us last week, and we decided to skip on it only because we thought it deserved a lot more time to itself. And he said, what's it going to take to break down the gamer stereotype? And
it's a deep question.
That's a deep, big question.
I think you got to identify what the gamer stereotype is first. The gamer stereotype is fat nerds sitting in the closet.
They do nothing else but play games.
Yeah. They don't do anything productive. They just want to play games all the time.
Well, I think certain personalities are, attracted to certain things, so it's not so much that all gamers are that way, it's just that the majority of people who like that tend to gravitate towards games, you know?
Right.
So it's tough to, it's tough to separate it, you know? I don't know if there's any way that you could change that, other than to, change, you know, I don't know.
First of all, Chaffee was writing in relation to, the VGX awards, and I think one of the first things that they should do is actually take the awards show, seriously. That's probably going to be the only time that any non-gamer is actually, going to be flipping through the channels and potentially watch anything gaming-related.
I think they also need to make it seem less like this is the only time that gamers are going to be in the spotlight, and they need to have B-list celebrities representing them, because honestly, games are mainstreams. You don't need to try so hard for something that's obviously permeated every part of culture. It's just not. It doesn't make any sense.
Mm.
Yeah.
I think it's going to take. I think the real issue is that there's kind of this stigma of games being designed for kids, and I think it's going to take more popular people, more entertainers or celebrities coming out saying that they play games for it to ever really kind of.
Well, I'm not talking that having celebrities is a bad thing. I'm talking about porn stars coming in onto the game show and being the award ceremony being video games are cool and really?
Yeah. Well, I mean, not just celebrities, but, other important people, athletes and stuff like that.
Well, I think it does help with, Beyond Two Souls, having actors be in games, especially good actors be in games, is kind of a way to kind of get people to be oh, yeah, I really liked... You know, Ellen Page in this movie, or John Malkovich, but what's his face?
Dafoe.
And I think people will. People won't discount this as this is just some other side thing that they're doing, some garbage, you know that. It's not, gaming is not to actors right now, what Japanese commercials are that they do, those are, a lot of those, I don't know if anybody's ever watched all of those, but they're embarrassing. Arnold Schwarzenegger and all these other, big Hollywood stars that go over to Japan and get paid, tons of money, and they do these, commercials for... foot cream and all this other terrible stuff. And that's embarrassing, but games are a big deal. They reach a lot of people. It's a medium that, almost as big as movies. It's declining a little bit, but
so what are you saying that it's you're saying like game, you know, going to gaming is like stooping to doing horrible commercials.
Right.
That's yeah, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
I mean, I could see a lot of people, non-gaming people, that would see it that way.
Yeah, that's true. I think it's hard to like for myself. I feel like they're ahead of the curve. You know, they're moving to this new platform, this new thing. It's very forward thinking of actors to start playing, you know, being in games and stuff.
Yeah,
I think also too things like MLG and, you know, things that make gaming seem a lot more respectable will cause like people to like if that kind of stuff ever like becomes like a real viable league and people really respect it for like what it is, then people will respect games. And also, if you think about the fact that like gaming is reaching a lot more audiences now with like smartphones and tablets, it's like inevitable that, you know, you start on Fruit Ninja, but then you go to like, you know, you kind of at least respect like maybe more intense games, and that's how everyone started like at some level. So
I mean, Fruit Ninja is really the NES of Pong. This generation.
Yeah, exactly.
I think one of the probably the best ways to actually break down the stereotype is for gamers themselves to like take a stance on gaming and like, because I mean, this is just in your regular life. Like you go out and like so many gamers go out and they'll talk to like work people and like, oh, do you play like you play video games? And it's just like, yeah, don't make it out to be something that's, you know, second rate or that's like, you know, looked down upon.
Yeah, second rate form of entertainment. It's like, oh, nobody questioned you if you spend like, oh, I went to the movies all this week. I went to go see a movie every night. No one would question that, but somebody would be like, oh, you spent like 3 hours playing a video game every night? Like, really?
Yeah.
What do you do
with it? They would look at like you going to the movies 5 nights a week as being like, oh, you're very, like, you're probably really good at film. Like, you probably know film very well. And it's just like, nobody says, oh, you play lots of video games? You probably really know video games very well.
I think gaming kind of has like this notion that it's like a waste of time. And I think that's something that's like existed for a while, you know, in like older people and people who don't play games. And but at the same, it's kind of like the equivalent of if anything, it's more mentally stimulating and better for you, you know, physically to play games than it is to sit and watch TV for extended periods of time. And the majority of people who complain about games like that are people who are going to go home and turn on the TV and watch shows or something.
Right.
So it's like you're trading one for the other.
Why don't you do something productive with your life and go watch Sons of Anarchy?
But, you know, I don't think there's much merit in saying that gaming is a lesser form of entertainment.
No. And I think you, Tim, you were saying earlier, like, people think it's, like, such a kid thing to do. And it's like, no. Like, have you ever watched, I Tim's pointing the camera at his cat now. Susie. Hi, Susie.
She's an asshole. She's my back.
So yeah, like people, you know, I played like the 100. No, it was the best like video game music or whatever, and I played it in an office. And this woman who doesn't really believe that gaming is like a legit thing. I didn't tell her what kind of music we were listening to. And she's like, wow, this is really good. Is this like, you know, is this like some classical CD? I'm like, no. And and she guessed like 6 times. And at the end, she goes, okay, tell me what it is. Because I was like, can you guess the theme of what all this music is? Like, what brings it all together? And she had no idea. And I told her, I was like, it's all video game music. Like, this is all like music that was made specifically for games. And she was like, oh, wow, I actually enjoyed that. I'm like, no kidding. There's more to games than just fucking, like, killing people and, you know, it's It's not it's not a kid thing to do. There's a lot of other things to appreciate in the medium than, like,
I think also it was like for like a lot of people, for I mean a large generation of people, their first experience with games was going to arcades and stuff like that, and so that's it just kind of stuck with them mentally to think that gaming is like this form of entertainment for children.
Yeah.
When it's clearly matured well beyond that.
The same thing happened with television though and stuff, like, I mean,
right.
Wasn't as popular and just kind of thought as like a, I mean, it's still kind of thought as this, but like, you know, it's the stigmatism of it just being a couch potato type thing has kind of changed a lot, and some people really appreciate it for like intellectual value that you can get from certain aspects. I mean, I think gaming will sort of be the same way, where there's certain things like reality TV where you just they're like completely like detrimental to your brain.
Yeah.
But you still play them because they're like enjoyable, and then there's other things that are like, you know, more interesting and much more like the production value is very high and it'll be more popular. So I think as like technology and, you know, like smartphones are a big thing on this, but you know, as computer, everyone's starting to have computers now, everyone's starting to have smartphones, everyone's starting to have everything. We're all kind of like starting to like kind of be on the same playing field as far as like what we have technologically and gaming accessibility, so to speak. Mm-hmm. I think things will change a lot, and I think that will change the stigmatism of like what the atypical gamer is, because you're going to see people like Mila Kunis playing World of Warcraft,
right?
And just things like that on a really regular basis. It won't even be a surprise,
right? I mean, even my mom is playing like computer games now. She got a laptop like a little while ago, and she's been playing. She plays like every single frigging kind of solitaire possible. And it's like, I mean, that is video gaming right there. It's just not, you know, it's just not the kind of games that we play. And, she's like, oh, I love it. I accidentally stayed up until like 2 o'clock. I'm like, oh my God, mom, you have a problem.
Hawaiian vacation solitaire.
It's like she's like spider solitaire and minesweeper and all this other stuff. Just like, whew. I was like, see, it's addicting. Like you can't discount how addicting it actually is. But yeah.
I think another part of it too is like is gaming gives you kind of something. There's a reward. You know. That comes with beating a game, and that's something that not a lot of other mediums will give you. And that's something that
there's no reward for finishing a movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I have to leave the theater? Okay.
I think the biggest thing, like, that I'm just gonna throw out there as like a takeaway is, you know, just if you're a gamer, take ownership of that and don't let anybody talk it down, because just be informed enough that you can argue someone, and most of the time they're just like, oh, really? Like, wow. I mean, I tell people about PAX, and I'm like, I tell everybody at work, like, I have no qualms being, I mean, I work with, you know, I work with bankers, so these people are, you know, pretty conservative with, you know, how they spend their time, and it's just like, I'm a gamer. I play video games. I play my fucking Vita during lunch break with my headphones in, and I'm just like, yeah, whatever, this is what I'm doing. And I told people about PAX, and they're like, oh, you're going to a video game conference? I'm like, yeah, me and 70,000 other people. And they're like, oh, wow, that's big. I'm like, yeah, no kidding.
I think also, too, when you, like, a lot of times I'm just like, you know, I'm going to go to PAX, or, like, I go to, like, this, like, you know, video game convention, but it's like, yeah, I go with, like, all my friends from home and stuff, then people are more like, I don't know, I think people just stigmatize it as, like, you're just, like, going by yourself.
Right.
Like, kind of, yeah. Like, they don't realize that it's a really, like, the social implications of gaming are so huge now. It's like,
yeah.
I mean, especially with the advent of the internet, it's just, like, gaming, it's a lot more social than people think. They kind of see people as gamers as these, you know, people who live in solitude in their basement, but you have this major virtual relationships that people form in guilds and stuff like that, and it's a lot more than it looks like on the surface.
Sure.
It's just like Christmas. Everyone comes together.
But yeah, good question. Good question. Definitely. Yeah, so why don't we just go right into some... We have a list here of top five most badass Christmas movies ever.
Question mark? Can I just preface this by saying we really wanted to do the top five best Christmas games, but there might be only five Christmas games ever. So, there's a lot of games with like Christmas elements in them. Like they may have like they may be Christmas in the game or something, but like they're not centered around Christmas, which is really ironic. I don't know. I just like I never thought that about it until like I started looking it up, and there isn't really any like you know Santa Claus game that's like awesome.
No.
Doesn't
like,
exist.
A lot of games do the DLC thing where, you know, you get a costume or a skin or something that's, like, holiday-related, but apart from that, it doesn't change the mechanic of the game. It's just that.
You know, there's not, like, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer Racing or something.
Nightmare Before Christmas is a video game.
That's no, but, true. Like, okay, yeah, there's games that, like, are based on movies that are Christmas.
But it's not, like, I guess holidays just don't really have big games. Most likely probably because they're religious, but...
Yeah, that's true. But, I mean, it's in some games, like Max Payne, I think, has, like, a Christmas element to it.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you can debate, but, like, some of the, like, you know, Mario Zones and Banjo-Kazooie Zones were, like, kind of Christmassy.
Oh, yeah. Every winter zone is always going to look like Christmas.
It's kind of a Christmas. And it has, like, Christmas bells and jingle bells. Like, yeah. It's, like, the music. So, like, I mean, there's definitely aspects of games that are Christmassy, but...
Whenever anywhere is a winter, it's always going to be a Christmassy. Unless it's like, a really morbid Christmas or morbid winter, where like, Zelda, where winter. Everyone's dead or something.
So, anyways, that's why we're doing the top five most badass Christmas movies ever.
Yeah.
This is much better.
So, number five, Home Alone. Like,
this is a classic.
This is such a classic.
I honestly think that a more badass movie than Home Alone for Home Alone is Home Alone 2, just because of the sheer number. Like in Home Alone, the villains, the bandits, like they get beat up pretty bad. Home Alone 2, they would be dead like 180 times.
Oh my god! Like. Dana and I just watched that this week, and it was like they go to that old building, and the guy I don't know when Daniel Stern is entering the building for the first time, and he doesn't. Well, first of all, he gets like staple gunned in the nuts and in the anus.
He takes like 15 bricks to the head. Like in that scene, I'm like cringing every time. Like as a kid, I didn't cringe, but then when it's happening, I'm like, oh god, his brain is like pudding right now. It's like it's gone. He's dead. That kid just killed him.
Yeah, and then he walks in the building. He walks in the building, and he doesn't see that there's no floor on the ground. And he just like he just walks forward and just falls directly into the basement. And it's just like what?
He falls like 15 feet, and then just. But even after that, there's so many other like instances where like he puts an explosive in the toilet, and then the guy puts his head in, and it would like. It's like obviously it's kind of cartoony with that where like you're holding a bomb and instead of like killing you it just makes your head black, but just like the sheer even in Home Alone 1, I mean all the stuff that he did to them wouldn't kill them. I mean maybe a few of the stuff things sort of get like giving them concussions, but all of the things he does to them in Home Alone 2 is just like it's out of sheer malice. He's like you're gonna you don't die this time.
I can just picture them in like the pitch meeting for the sequel. Like, we need more violence. The bandits need to die this time.
Yeah. I mean, you have to one up the first one.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was that's a ridiculous movie, and I like those movies because they incorporate the holiday season and everything. There's snow and whatever, but there's also this like. One person. It's like they're basically both the same movie that take place in different places.
Like the redeemed person in the movie is not the child, but some random old person.
It's like fucking scary. Like the guy with the shovel in the first one, and Pigeon Lady in the second one. But granted, I will. You go and you watch that movie again, and I was thinking to myself, I don't think I would ever talk to that woman. Like, yeah. She's a psycho.
She really was. She lives in the movie too. Like, she's like, don't make promises you can't keep. And he says, "I'll remember you." And she's like, "Don't make promises you can't keep. Otherwise, I'll hunt you down and I'll stick my legions on you."
And then, but like, what I didn't understand is she lived up in like the top floor of like the New York Symphony Orchestra, and I'm like, how? Like, nobody goes up there? Like, there are lighting people. They go up and must check that I don't think that the lights are pointed to the same place every single time.
She definitely doesn't live there. It's just where she goes to like keep warm.
Keep warm.
She's a pigeon.
But why does she have? There were hundreds of pigeons up there too. Like
shitting everywhere.
Well, it's like, yeah. Hey Arnold.
I'm sure she didn't smell very good.
It's like an Arnold, they had the Birdman. But
that's true. Oh my god! What about the scene where he like he gets away from the other guys and there's like hookers talking to him? They're like, "You lost, little boy.
You want somebody to meet you at bedtime story?"
Yeah.
And then he gets in that cab.
Oh, thank God.
Like,
it's a madhouse out there. It ain't much better in here, kid. And this guy's got like one dead eye, and it's pretty bad.
Mm-hmm. Such a good
back in New York before it was gentrified, or at least that area was gentrified. Central Park. Anyways, sure it's pretty sketchy in some parts, but.
Number four.
All right, number four, Nightmare Before Christmas.
This is Halloween. This is Halloween. Everybody's screaming.
I am the one hiding under your bed. Fingers like snakes and eyes glowing red. I am the one hiding under your stairs.
Oh, God. Stop him.
He'll keep going. So this is probably the best Christmas movie.
Agreed, because Christmas and Halloween combined are two of my favorite things.
Yeah. You can't get any better than that.
Yeah, it's the most disturbing Christmas movie ever.
Uh-huh. Tim Burton is the man.
Yeah.
He's awesome.
What is your favorite character in Nightmare Before Christmas?
The dog.
Yeah, I would say the dog.
Everyone likes the dog.
I'm trying to think of who mine is. Probably the mayor, because of his face and it rotates. Jack!
Speaking of rotating faces, did you guys ever watch Return to Oz? This is not related at all, but like the second Oz movie?
No.
Yeah, it's... No, wait. It's not the Oz movie, sorry. It's the second Neverending Story. With the guy that has like multiple faces, his head is like a square. And then there's, like, faces that spin around.
Yeah, it's been so long since I've seen that movie.
Oh, yeah, man.
Artax! No! Anyways, not Christmas-related.
Return to Oz was a movie? Wait, what? I'm totally
confused. Yeah, it was.
I never heard of that before.
She goes back.
It looks horrifying. Why is there a weird pumpkin guy? God, that's bizarre.
Yeah, it's Pumpkinhead. It's the Scarecrow, but apparently he, like... tried to kill himself and blew his head off, and then that didn't actually happen. I'm just making that up. But
well, no, I have to watch this with a pumpkin because it's horrifying.
Yes, please do. It's a good movie. Everyone should watch that.
There's a weird robot with like a walrus mustache. Oh god, this is horrifying.
Sounds like it makes sense.
Number three.
Who can't say that they love Gremlins?
It's true.
Nobody.
The best part is how like he gets this Christmas present and he just like first off, who the fuck buys this thing?
Yeah,
no. Chinese wizard
from this like weird Asian man out in this like alley, little alley.
And then like, oh, it's a great Christmas present.
Oh, okay. According to who?
What a bizarre premise! Like, don't get water on it. Or it'll grow little creatures. And
there's got to be some legend somewhere. And someone's like, yeah, this is make a great movie. The Gremlins game was hard.
One of my favorite. That was really hard. Gremlins, yeah. I think it was Gremlins 2.
The one with the,
Wait, was 2? Was the second one on Christmas 2?
Oh, actually,
it was. Both were.
But regardless, the
The
game was ridiculous because of all the weird like specialty gremlins, like the electric gremlin and all that stuff. It was just bizarre.
Yep.
Oh yeah, yeah.
You had like a little matchstick with fire yeah. that you could like bow and arrow at him and stuff. It's ridiculous. My favorite scene, one of my favorite scenes, and I think the original Gremlins, is when, what's his name? The Mowgli.
What is his name?
What do you mean, the Gremlin? Main guy?
The little Gizmo, yeah.
Gizmo?
Gizmo, thank you.
Yeah. Gizmo, dude.
And they do, he's like the little animatronic thing, and it, All four of his arms and legs are going, and they're just like all the gremlins are popping out in these little like boils on his back. They're like, bloop, 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 bloop.
My favorite is when they're all eating after midnight. Like it's so mischievous. Like I'm like, get it, munchies. Then also the best scene in that is when the mom throws one of the gremlins in the blender.
Just
blends it up.
Oh gosh,
dude, I don't watch that now.
I think I have to watch all of these movies.
We've had a list. We've been watching Christmas movies for the last like 14 days. Die Hard is on that list.
This isn't on the list either, but the
that's a good.
I just watched National Lampoon's.
Yeah, we watched that one last night.
Yeah, that one's really good.
That was good.
I think that and Die Hard also is really good.
Yeah,
a lot of people were talking about that.
So good.
The next one on our list is Christmas Story. This is like the most horrifying Christmas ever.
Yeah. I think it gets more disturbing with age too.
Mm-hmm. The part when like he's on Santa's lap and then the elf like kicks his face down the slide. Yeah. So good.
Yeah.
You shoot your eye out, kid. You need to add like a demonic voice to that. I'd be like, "You'll shoot your eye out, kid."
Wow, you like nailed that. That was really demonic sounding.
Charles has an acute control over his octaves.
Oh, I practiced the voice. Just because on all that,
Charles has been waiting for this.
Because of like
for
all
years.
The anime shows I used to watch, like Yu Yu Hakusho. None of the demons in that ever had a normal voice. It's always like, "I'll rip you apart and sweet kill you, my eat you myself."
Charles is like saying it along with them. Okay, I got this. All right.
Because it just sticks in your head sometimes.
Also, can I just say that the Christmas Story, it's really ridiculous that a TV show has, like, sustained off of, like, just showing this one movie for 24 hours on Christmas.
Was it TBS?
TBS, I think.
It's, like, 24 hours of a Christmas Story, and I was like, who is watching this, like, 12
no one ever watches. No one ever buys the DVD because they know that it's going to be on TBS.
That's right.
And the funny thing is, I feel like every year I watch it, but I watch it in like 8 increments. Like I watch like 10-minute segments, like,
and they're all out of order.
That's probably the very reason they do it, because they know that people are going to be running around, and you want to come back to it at some point. It's ridiculous. Maybe they bought the entire licensing for it, and they're just like, "Eh, we got it. Might as well use it."
Yep. Anyways. Number one, this is the best one by far.
Oh my god,
this is the question. This
all the way!
Get the Turbo Man doll!
Oh, you poor baby!
Jackie, my girlfriend, actually hadn't seen this. And I was
what?
Like, so we recorded it on the DVR and watched it, and she was like, "What's the big day?" And I was like, "This is the best. This is the best holiday movie ever made. How do you not?"
I think it's on Netflix too now.
Seen it like 40 times.
Yeah, yeah. Turbo Man,
Sinbad.
And I forgot that. Anakin Skywalker is the son.
The kid, yeah. Which is so awkward. How young is he in that though? He must be pretty young, right?
Yeah, man.
How like that was? I feel like that was way before like episode one.
Well, it came out in, like, late 90s, right?
Yeah,
episode one was Episode 1 is early.
It's the best Christmas movie of all time.
Or
it's
kind
of like the
99.
Worst lesson like of any Christmas movie I've ever seen in my life.
What was the lesson?
Oh,
I don't even
like,
remember.
What the fuck? It's like...
The
no,
toy
the
doesn't
toy
matter
is
or
yeah. Really what it was.
That you should beat people up.
That
to
in
get
order
to the
impress your son,
wants.
You cannot you don't just have to buy the doll, but you have to be the character that the doll is made up out of.
It's actually pretty. When I just rewatched it, like Sinbad is in it, and then he pretends to be like a disgruntled postal worker, and it has like a bomb, and then there's like a, there is a real mail bomb, and all this
yeah.
crazy stuff. It's like,
you're just like that. You can't do that now.
No, sure, man. You can. they just don't.
You want to go to prison for the rest of your life?
Oh, you mean a mail bomb itself? Well, I'm sure you go to prison for that anyway. Of then.
For the record, he was the kid in Jingle All the Way, which was in 1996 Phantom episode, the Phantom Menace episode 1 was 1999, so 3 years apart. So it's like close enough that he was just like a little smaller then.
Yeah.
Can we jump from this and go with, well, this is like a sidebar from Christmas movies, but this is a in the same direction with Arnold Schwarzenegger. the last action
so
hero.
Good.
Oh my god, dude.
Oh god. Yeah. Yeah.
Biggie Biggie Boggy Boobus.
One of my favorite.
You didn't know I was going to say that, did you?
Oh my god. he comes out of the movie. He comes out of the screen and then he's with that kid and they're just running around. And he can't do stuff like he can in the movies.
Yeah. What's I forget the actor's name, but Tywin Lannister is the bad
Tyrion?
Guy
oh, yeah,
with the
Tywin.
Glass eye.
Yeah, Charles.
Oh, yeah, that's
Tywin.
Yeah.
I forget. Charles.
Yeah. Yeah, something like that.
He's like a bad guy.
Charles
in Dance. Movies,
is
I feel like.
Yeah.
Yes,
that
that's
guy.
It.
I had
Benedict.
I had the Arnold Schwarzenegger action figure from that movie, and he had. Like, his arm, like, he would throw stuff. I don't know why. It was, like, one of those, like you would pull it back and it would, like, fling forward. And then his other hand was stuck in a, in a bunch of bricks, like, from brick wall. And it's, like, what? Like, why? I don't remember that in the movie.
You pulling a 360
yeah,
on me, man. It's a 180. You Sicilian schmuck.
Where did he
come
Benedict.
Up with this shit?
I know.
Charles is like a friggin' IMDb human over here. He just knows movie quotes.
It's unbelievable, dude. It's
ridiculous.
And the nerve gas and the fat guy and then drop him into the to tar sands. Oh, that's such a good movie.
Last time you saw this movie, Charles. Okay, thank you.
That's okay, good.
Because I'm just like, dude, I haven't seen this movie for like 7 years.
Well, then you need to rewatch it.
Yeah, I agree.
Aren't at one point there's like a
yeah,
casket on top
guy.
Of a building, and then
they
like
they put the nerve gas inside.
Oh yeah,
his
okay.
body.
Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah.
I remember. I used to have. Do you remember those like. Sticker books that used to come out, and you had to buy packs of stickers to like make a movie poster or something. Okay. You guys remember this at all?
It sounds familiar.
They came in. They look like trading cards, but they came
with
stickers.
Stickers
and them. You'd like stick them over like it would be like a puzzle, and you'd have to collect all of them or whatever.
And then what did you get when you got all of them?
You got a fucking nothing. You got a poster with stickers on it. That's it.
But it was completed.
It was completed, and I had it for The Last Action Hero and the Super Mario Brothers movie, which
oh man,
that is another great, great movie. Except that Koopa was played by he was like a human, which didn't make sense. He wasn't actually, but
who was?
It
Koopa?
Was
Koopa.
What's his face?
Yeah. The guy from
Kevin
Costner World, right?
No, the bad Dennis guy. Hopper? Yes, Dennis Hopper.
And the Goombas were like 7 feet tall and like in they were in weird like S&M gear. It was
and they had little tiny like lizard heads.
Yep. And they had like spike collars and like black leather vests. It was
ironically, even though in like the game there were giant heads and little feet when they were really small.
Right.
And then Yoshi was in it too, and he was like a little dinosaur.
Oh yeah, that's right. Lizard. And John Leguizamo was.
Yeah.
The Pest was in it too.
Yeah, that was a good movie.
That was a good movie though.
I kind of want to rewatch it.
For gaming movies, but might be one of the best.
Yeah, I mean, there's like not many, but
there's not many to like relate to. But I feel like for a game that turned movie,
what was the whole
standard's pretty low.
What was even the plot? Like, were they were gonna come and
I've
destroy
seen it so many times? Okay, so the plot was like something like Princess Peach, which was just this girl in Brooklyn. Like, had, like, this, like, she was, like, an abandoned child, and she had this little, like, necklace, which was, like, a shard of this stone, which was gonna, like, meld the Koopa world with the normal world. So what? Koopa came and stole her to, like, put the shard in. And then, like, you know, like, Luigi and Mario, like, met her, and then they saw her get captured, and they, like, followed her into the Koopa world, and they were trying to save her. And then,
it sounds like the Double Dragon movie.
Oh, my God.
Probably, I don't remember what that
my
was.
My god, this thing is freaking horrible.
Each brother had, like, a necklace thing.
The pictures of the bad guys.
they're terrible.
Like, these gigantic, little tiny bodies with these teeny tiny little heads.
The best was that, like, at some point there was, like, music playing, like, elevator music when they're in this elevator, and then they just, like, caused the, like, the Goombas to just start dancing by, like, swinging their hips, and then they just became, like, tranced with this dance, and they just got, like, that's how they escaped one another. It just made no sense.
That is horrifying.
It was pretty good, though. They had bombs in it, which blew up, and everyone was, like, afraid of.
Mm-hmm. Good movie. What other gaming movies were there? There's, like, Final Fantasy VII movie.
Street Fighter was a good one.
Oh, Street Fighter, Raul Julia, and...
Oh, yeah.
That's true.
I was always disappointed in Blanca, though.
What's his... What?
Because he didn't do anything.
Who played Guile?
Van Damme.
That's it, yeah.
Yeah.
Raul Julia was M. Bison, yeah. That was a good movie. I need to watch that again. Movie.
Yeah, I watched it with my brother on Netflix, and then it was like, you should watch Beverly Hills Cop. And then it was like, you should watch Commando by Arnold Schwarzenegger. And I was like, got it!
Commando. Love some steam, Bennett.
Come on.
Anyway, I think we can cut this episode short a little bit.
I think this is it. Yeah.
We'll give everybody a little bit extra time for their holiday. It's our gift to you.
The gift
you're
that
getting
keeps on giving.
Charles's quotes are a gift in itself.
I'd say, what are we playing now? But
we don't really have much to say for that.
This is the end of the episode. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you, Fiction 315. Thank you, Choffy. Thank you, Mr. Ham 111. Thank you,
Mike Follower
93. And thank you, Tim. Thank you, Steve. Thank you, Charles. This has been episode 17 of Late Night Gamers Podcast, and we'll see you next week for...
Have a happy holiday or just a good old-fashioned day.
Have a good
day. Late Night Gamers Podcast, where we make all of your gaming habits seem acceptable.
Late Night Gamers.
Steve, this game sucks so bad, it's so unbalanced, blah, and I just quit and never play it ever again.
Carlson.
What do you do in your free time? Sit around knitting?
Screw that shit, I'm gonna cut up a dragon's head.
Tim.
It's okay if your guts spill out and you explode into a bloody mess, as long as you don't take your clothes off.
Late Night Gamers. Alright, should we go? How do we want to start this?
Late Night Gamer Podcast, Merry Christmas, motherfucker.
Oh my god.
Best Stephen Hawking voice ever.